So that's where we need to start. Can't find Hebrews. Yeah, somewhere. There it is. All right, ladies, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that we can be in your your Sunday school class. Lord, we here at our lovely church that we so enjoy being at. Lord, I just thank you for your word and its presence in our lives and how we need to impart it into our hearts and to just keep aware of your word and all the things that it can teach us. And Lord, as we study your word today, Lord, I just pray that you just touch our hearts and give us what we need to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've been going over chapter 2 is about self-love, self-esteem, and the differences in them and things that don't line up with according to scripture. We've learned at the beginning of the chapter that self-esteem is not in the Bible. God does not talk about us putting ourselves ahead. We're not to think highly of ourselves because really we're nothing without the Lord, and our gratification, our sense of our purpose really all needs to come from God, and he gives us that when we choose to serve him and to give our lives to him and to accept his salvation. And all of these things come to us the more we get in his word, the more we see that it's his love that needs to shine out from us, not our love that we're trying to impart onto to people. So the verse that we left off on is Hebrews 13:5. And it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Being content. Contentment is hard. It's a matter of the mind. Contentment is not easy in all circumstances, but knowing that we have the Lord in every circumstance, he's always there. When there's good times, bad times, you feel sad, you feel happy, you are content, you're not content. The Lord is always there, always willing to give you what it is that you desire as long as you ask him. God knows our minds and he knows all these things, but if we can't humbly come to him and ask him for some of the simplest things, he's not just going to arbitrarily give them to us. He wants us to come to him. He's always there. It's just we aren't always there with him. We have to make sure that we stay close to the Lord. And the simple things. I remember when, I do it sometimes, but not as much as I used to. I mean, simple things. I used to pray for a parking space whenever I went somewhere. It's like, Lord, I need, or, just, Lord, help the traffic not be, just keeping, you don't even have to say them out loud, but it's like, be mindful that, Lord, I need your help for getting my work done today. I need your help for, getting up on the right time. I need your help on, making sure I read my Bible in the morning. All of these little things, if we get in a habit of doing them, then more things we tend to talk to him about. And we keep our minds in that arena, I guess, of prayerfulness and consciousness of God, that he's always there for us. That's why I like Hebrews 13, because that's what it's talking about. Is he's there. He's always, looking out for us. And all I have to do is, I just have to reach out to him. And sometimes we don't do that. We rely on ourselves. Okay, the next one is Matthew 25. Can't find Matthew. It's back here. Matthew 25.
chapter 35, what verse?
35 through 40. It's right there in your book, Kathy. We're on page 20, looking up the verses.
Oh.
35 through 40. Sharon, you want to read that for me?
Sure. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, of the least of these my brethren ye have done it unto me.
Very good. So there's another classic example of looking out for others instead of ourselves. We fulfill the needs of others, and someone will fulfill the things that you have need of. And it's just like a nice little merry-go-round that goes around, you know, that saying, what goes around comes around. That can be good or bad. But what you put out, you tend to get back. If you reach out to people, someone's going to reach out to you. If you have a giving heart, someone's going to give to you. If you are friendly, if you are happy, if you show joy in your life, if you can reach out to someone in a smile even. If you just come in and you're so busy and you hardly even look at people because you feel like you have to do this and this and this and this and, you know, all these things. You don't take the time to look at someone, look in their face, openly, you know, make eye contact with them, and let them know that you genuinely are happy to see them. Or that goes a long way. Because someone could be having a really bad day, and you just brightened up their whole morning because you stopped and you gave them a hug, or you said, I'm so glad to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. That makes a big difference, and it goes a long way. And even with the men, we don't have to get overly friendly with, you know, the men don't have to hug everybody, but even if you just take a hold of their arm and say, you know, I really like what you do here, or, you know, I'm proud of the job you're doing here. You know, tell our deacons, go to the pastor, you know, give him a little word of an encouragement. Even our husbands, tell them, you know, I'm glad, you know, that you get up and go to work every day. It goes a long way, and it tends to come back to you if you're, the more you can kind of not think I'm going to get an answer, but I'm going to do this anyway. Yeah, it's a mindset. I'm really trying to, I mean, even like my coworkers at work, I'm just trying to not be so focused in what I'm doing and listen to what they're saying. You know, they have needs, they have, you know, they may say something, and if I can give them a word of encouragement, if I can say something, if I can just say, well, you look pretty today, or just an acknowledgement of, I'm just trying to be more mindful of that. Since we've been doing this lesson, it just kind of made me think a little bit. Okay, so down here in question 11, we're going to start talking about agape love. Now, we hear that word, agape, as it's the way, basically it's the way Christ loves. And I know, I think it's in here, it might just be a principle as opposed to, because it's not in, it's actually not in the Bible, that word agape, but in the dictionary, agape love means that it's an others first love. It's this It's how do I fulfill the needs of others? It's a self-sacrificing love. The love that Christ showed on the cross, that's an agape love. It doesn't ask for anything back. Well, I mean, the actual word. Well, I'm looking the word up in the concordance, and I got aged.
But you're right. The word agape, the Greek translation does.
Yeah, I mean, it's there.
The translation that they did.
Right.
So you were right about
it. But it's just not. It's not.
Not regular.
That word is not written. Agape is not written in here. The principle.
But it's the Greek.
Right. Yes. But the principle of God's love, the agape love, is all throughout the scriptures because it's a self-sacrificing love. He didn't ask for anything when he gave his life for us, and that's the true meaning of agape love. Now, where self-love or a self-centered love is more what I want, what I expect, what I think I deserve, why can't I have, it's inward. It's all about me. Where loving someone unconditionally, I mean, we that have children, we love our children with a version of agape love that is about the closest that you can compare to, to what Christ did. Because literally, you would do anything. You will give up stuff for yourself and everything else. You will do for your children. You won't necessarily do that for your husband. But because that's a different type of love that we have for our husbands. We didn't nurture him from conception. We, as women, we have an unconditional love for our child the minute we know we're pregnant. We love that child a whole lot longer than our husbands even love this child. Their love can be as unconditional too, but as a woman, as a mother, it's different. Because from the beginning, you have nurtured this being. And so that, to me, in my little finite mind, that's about the closest I can really conceive of how to, that Christ's love is for me. He loves me that much, and people have this little thing on the side of page 21 over here. I was reading that last night, and it's like, yes, everybody has emotional baggage. We talked about that in the ladies' meeting last night. Everybody has some kind of emotional baggage that they carry around that stems from childhood. It stems from something in adulthood, something that happened in their life that was a trauma, that was, who knows, their behavior was self-destructive, lots of things. So, but the therapists don't tend to focus on helping you get rid of that baggage. Is more how to cope with that baggage that you have. Where Christ wants us to give it over, get rid of it, let it go, so that he can heal us. Just like Carmen was talking about, until she learned to let go of what happened to her, she couldn't heal. And it was still there, and it was still consuming her mind. So, therapist, the lady that wrote the book, she was writing this down, this thing on page 21 right here. She was saying that they discussed her problems. She had depression and emotional instability, but the root of my need had never been exposed and dealt with. God began to show me the revolting root of self in my life and all of its many faces. Self-pity, self-introspection, self-condemnation, self-centeredness, self-defense, and on and on. Self, self, self. That was the root of my damaged mental and emotional condition. And instead of humbling myself before God and embracing the opportunity to cry out for His grace, I had responded to the storms of life by holding on and pampering myself, my hurts, my disappointments, my rights, my needs. And when we acknowledge the circumstances of our past has not made me what I was, they had simply revealed the deep root of self that needed to be taken to the cross. So she was able to come and give this to the Lord and ask forgiveness for being this way. And a lot of people will say, well, that's the way God made me. Well, no, when you ask for forgiveness and at salvation, we become a new creature. Our life is to be different. We are to let go of the things in our past, and God can heal us of those, the way we thought, the way we lived our life before. All of that can be forgiven. We have the harder part in letting go. Christ has forgiven us when we ask for forgiveness at salvation. Christ has forgiven us. We have a harder part in forgiving ourselves and letting go of these things. So in question 12, it's saying, can a person whose self-love needs have not been met, or a person who had terrible life as a child, ever learn to express agape love described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? So let's read that first before we go on any more. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 4 through 8. It's talking about charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a familiar verse to most of us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, just like I had mentioned, when we're saved, the Bible tells us we are a new creature. So, the things that were in our past, in our life before we became a Christian, in our minds, they're never going to go away. But I don't need to dwell on them. That's
change how you think about it.
Right.
The thought process has to change.
Exactly. You have to put it in a perspective. This is before, and I did things because of circumstances before, but now I have help. I have someone with me. That's been forgiven. This not going to change anything if I keep dwelling on it. I can't go back and fix it. I can't make it different. If you have people that are still in your life that you can make amends with, that's a good thing, but not all of us have that opportunity because they may be gone. That, you know, you can't go to someone that you feel has wronged you and sometimes they don't know that they have. It's in our mind. We feel that someone's done a disservice to us. A lot of times it's our perception of that. And you go and ask them for forgiveness and they look at you like, what are you talking about? I didn't do anything to you. Yeah, what did I do? Exactly. So one of the main characters in God's Word that had a lot to feel sorry for himself about was the Apostle Paul. And if you read in 2 Corinthians, it talks about, in chapter 6, it talks about all of these things that Paul experienced. He was mistrusted. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He had many perils, one after another. And then he had the care of all the churches that he oversaw. And their needs and their wants. He didn't put himself first in anything. He always admitted his shortcomings, that I'm like the chiefest of sinners. And I mean, you just can't even see that in the things that he did, but that's how he felt about himself. He saw his failures, but he saw Christ more. He knew that in myself I'm going to always fail because I am nothing. Where with Christ, he wrote that verse, Philippians 4:13, in Christ I can do all things. You know, with Christ strengthened me. I didn't read that right, but that used to be, I had used that verse when I homeschooled, because it's like I felt I couldn't do it at all, and he got us through, and that was our verse. We claimed it all the time. And I like Paul for that fact. He kind of, his humanity comes out when you read the things that he went through and how he triumphed over them. And so, question 13, it says, the Apostle Paul was deprived of many things after he came to know Christ as his Savior. He didn't have people stroking him, telling him how valuable he was, how loved and accepted he was. And so then it says, you know, what are the things that happened to Paul? And in 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10 and 11, 23 through 28, that's, we can see a list of those that I had just mentioned to you. You know, he says them, like in verse 4 of chapter 6, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in afflictions, distresses, all of these words that he experienced. It's like, you look at that and it's like, I mean, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was put in prison many times, he was abandoned. You know, the workers, the people that he thought were on his side were, you know, against him. And chapter 11 has some more. 23, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. So that's 5 times he was whipped with, he was beaten with rods 3 times. I was stoned once. I've suffered shipwreck 3 times. A night and a day he's been in the water. He, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in mine own countrymen, the heathen, in the cities, in the wilderness, in the sea, with false brethren accusing him of things, in weariness, pain, he had pain, he had afflictions that he asked the Lord to take away, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. All of these, plus he said in verse 28, I have the care of all the churches. That was his ministry, and all the churches he started, he had their burdens on him, plus all of these other things that he went through. And who is weak? Am I not weak? Who's offended? I burn not. But he's praising the Lord, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore. He puts everything into perspective. He knows that he has, this is his, I don't know, his
ministry.
Well, it was his ministry, but it was his, this was his calling. This is what the Lord gave him to do. And he empowered him to get all of it done in spite of all of the things that everybody on the outside was trying to do to him. He knew that Christ's grace was sufficient and was going to get him through every trial that he had. And in our little worlds that we live in, we have nothing like this that we have to experience. But sometimes we think that woe is me and my life is so bad and I'm never going to get any peace or, you know, anything. Why is my life so horrible and blah, blah. And we just think the worst of situations. And we too can go to God's word and know that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. I will never tempt you beyond, you know, God doesn't tempt us, but he's not going to put things out into our path that we can't overcome. Let's try to get through. He hasn't come and told us that we're done, not done yet, so that's good. I want to try to get as much of this chapter done before we can. Okay, so this deprived person that we've been talking about, how can they love God and others and feel that they're a profitable servant for God? Any thoughts? This person that we've been talking about, not only Paul, but this person that didn't have, like, good things happen in their life, and, you know, they may not have always felt loved as a child, or who knows, they, you know, they've had, their marriages have fallen apart, or they've, you know, never been married and wanted to, and there's lots of people out there, but Philippians 4:11, we have the content verse again. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know that, you know, this is what Paul was saying. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the key. We know that we're going to have good and bad, but we know we have to claim God's word in I can do all things. He says I can do all things. He's never going to leave me alone. He's always there with me. I'm not by myself in trying to deal with my life situations. And the closer we get to the God's word and the closer we get to him, the easier those things are to cope with. Yes?
I haven't been reading the whole story, but when it said about this deprived person and how it was profitable servant for God, everything you've gone through, when you come out of it, you should be testifying to others so you can profit God's glory.
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking, that yes, you go through it, and you say, oh, I got through it. No, you didn't get through it. God helped you through it. So now go share that, especially to someone that doesn't know God, or even if they do, and they're low. So you could say, God brought me through, and they start seeing that. So it's a testimony.
Exactly. None of the things that we go through are not without their rewards. God doesn't give us trials in our lives that they're not either a lesson for us or they're a way to reach someone else. Experiences that you have gone through, whether they're good or bad, God's allowed those in your life. That's your path to walk down. But there's somebody else could be walking the same path and needs your encouragement or needs a word from you. I've been where you are. I'm out on the other side now. But if we stay so self-centered, we can't give that out to others. And if we don't get anything else, we have to look on the needs of others. We have to put other people's, and you can't fulfill everyone's need, but if you have a focus and you say, I want to say something to somebody today to make them feel better. That's one today. Let's see if I can do two tomorrow. But your mind, your focus is staying on what can I do for someone else and not for me.
Because earlier you said if you help others, others will fulfill your needs. But actually, when you're helping others, you are fulfilling a need that you didn't know you had.
Exactly.
So you just need to do it and trust that everybody will. So it is. Because when you say hi or good morning, you know, it's just... It doesn't feel good when you just, you know,
it makes you feel better too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It comes back to you without you being
exactly. Right. You having a smile on your face, it's like we have to, as we're gonna, the more we get into the lessons, the when we go into each of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, all at salvation, we have all of those within us. Okay? It's the fruit. It's one of the Spirit. But there's all these components of it. But it's one thing. It's not individual, and I can have love and I can have peace and I might pick up gentleness and I might do this. But no, we have the ability to have them all. It's just that we don't use them. We don't allow them to work in our lives. And it's a matter of choice. It's a matter of decision. I'm going to do this. With the Lord's help, I can allow these to shine out from me. And that's why this book is so exciting for me. Because it's like, it's just the things, I mean, it's like you've been saved for any length of time. You've heard this stuff before, but we don't tend to use it.
It's just an analogy that we did. If you have $100 in the bottom of your purse, you never knew it, you can't use it. You don't know you have those fruits, you need to know you have them.
Right.
So
how you can get them out and get them out. Okay, so in question 15, it says, we see no spirit of pride in Paul. He didn't have a morbid sense of self-contempt. He wasn't constantly putting him... He was just truthful in how he felt about himself. He realized that when the Holy Spirit distributed his gifts, he had not been left out. He knew what his gifts were, but he never claimed personal credit for his virtue or talent. And what valuable gifts did Paul recognize that he had? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 3:10 is what we're going to write down next. If I lost Corinthians, where'd it go? Kathy, we're on page 22 in our book, just so you...
22?
Yes, we're on page 22, question 15.
Okay.
And I can't get to chapter 3 here. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 3:10. Tanya, can you read that for me?
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Okay, so what does Paul say he is?
A wise master builder.
A master builder. Okay? So that would be the answer to that first one. Now, 4:1, Andrea.
I'm still writing, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
4:1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God.
Okay, so he was a minister and a steward of the gospel of Christ. And our next one is 1 Corinthians 4:15 and 16. Can you read that one for me?
For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Not on the right verse. Okay.
Yeah, verse 15.
In Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me.
Okay, so in this, he was a soul winner. Which we know he told everyone about Christ. And then the next one is 15:10. Yep. The next one is 15:10. 15:10. 10 is right here. All right. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So he was a laborer. He worked in the ministry. He didn't go and start these churches and leave it for someone else to manage and to take care of. Paul was constantly making that circuit all around and around and around, and letters back and forth. And it wasn't as easy as now, where you could just make a phone call. But he worked in the ministry. He was an important part of it. He wrote. We have his letters, so he had to have downtime in some instances where he put down his thoughts and those kinds of things, and then all the other stuff that happened to him, that upset all of that. It's a wonder that Paul got anything accomplished. So if a child of God, we're at question 16, if a child of God demands to hang on to her past and use it as an excuse for not being able to love and forgive, what is she actually doing? Okay, so let's go to what Galatians says to us. Did they? I'm sorry.
Galatians.
It's after 2 Corinthians, before Ephesians.
Galatians, or chapter 5.
Just go a couple pages
forward. Where are you at? 5:17. They've lost Galatians.
Thank you.
You found it? Okay. Nobody took it out?
No.
Okay, good. 5:17. Paula, can you read 5:17?
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you know.
Right, and then it says, but if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, we don't need to go into all those. So basically it's that verse 17. If we are not, we're in a constant battle between our flesh and what God wants. So when we're being controlled by our flesh, we're letting that have control over us instead of letting Christ be in control of our life. So when we are, like the verse says, if we're not able to let go of the past and we're not allowing ourselves to love and to be loved and to forgive, we're just setting ourselves up for failure. We have...
So we're being disobedient child.
In a sense,
I'm
yes.
I'm going to do this my way.
Right, and it's like, and no matter how many times you tell me I have to do this differently, I'm not going to, because I like this. I like having the focus on me, and if I stay in this self-pity and this walking around in this cloud, in a sense, with, it's all of, even if you don't want attention, you're asking for attention. You're still self-centered. Even if it's, woe is me, and everything they talk about is like a pity party. But it's still self-centered. And they're still focusing on what they don't have, instead of focusing on what Christ can give them and get them out of and help them to become. And so as ladies, if we see someone that we may feel that kind of has that tendency, share with her a verse. Come alongside, ask her if you can pray with her. Give her an encouraging word and let her know that Christ is on your side. He is there. He knows you from the beginning. He already knows this was going to happen to you. He knows how to help you get let go of those things. You don't have to dwell and focus on them. I mean, I've been in a lot of churches, and there's always seems to be somebody in there that has a negative attitude, that no matter what you do, they always see the negative side of things. They can't see the positive. That has to be something that they're not getting, letting go of. And they may not even know what it is. But with encouragement, we can try to help. And just some of the verses that we've shared, you know, it's like we all don't always have a good day, but there's got to be something positive in your life. Something that you can hold on to, that can make you feel better. And if it can't be Christ alone, then, you know, what is there?
Just because I know a few people like that, so sometimes you do have to be kind of blunt. Uh-huh. Not in front of everybody.
Well, no. No.
A friend told another one, you keep holding on to that $20 bill, but you just open up your hands, you can get $100 or $1,000. You just give them that perspective. You let go of what you have, you can get more in your hand. I mean, it's just totally not in the Bible, but you have to, you know, put it in a
different
perspective.
But it's like, why?
But what can you get? Jesus. But you can't grab Jesus' hand.
And, you know, he's reaching out. His arms are open, you know. And so we have to do the same thing. We have to. And it could just be, you know, I see that you're sad today. Can I pray for you? Just as simple as that. Or, I saw that you were sad on Sunday. I prayed for you. Write them a little card. I'm thinking about you today. Hope your day's good. You know, all of those kinds of things can be, beneficial. All right, ladies, let me turn this thing.